It's Chicago's Afternoon News. Okay, let's go to the ballet. Of the 50 largest companies in the U.S., only 30% have female artistic directors. Of the 10 biggest, there's only one with a woman artistic director, and that's in Miami. That got the attention of Liza Ayentema, who joins us now from Winnetka. Liza, how are you?
Hey, Steve. Thanks so much for doing this.
So you founded the Dance Delta Project. What's that about?
So Dance Data Project is basically a metrics-based analysis. So I was sitting in the auditorium theater. I've sat in theaters for years. And I'm looking around at the audience, Steve, and I don't know. When was the last time you went to the ballet, by the way? Just go ahead and be honest.
It's been about 30 years, 25, 30 years.
Yeah, okay,
years.
So there we go.
Yeah.
So if I tell you that 70% of the audience is female, and that 70% of the donor base is female, you probably wouldn't be hugely surprised,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Right, right.
Maybe, though, you might be surprised if I told you what big business this actually is. So our research shows that the largest 50 companies in the United States, if you look at their budgets, the aggregate budgets by expenditure, it's two-thirds of $1 billion, Steve. So that's some real money, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, a fair amount of money. So performing arts are, what, 4.3% of the GDP, and they've grown at twice the annual budget. And there are literally hundreds of thousands of little girls all across the world, probably over 100,000 little girls going to ballet class or dance class of any kind during any particular week or any particular day. And very often, 20-1 is the ratio of girls to boys in these classes. And we can talk about the racial aspect of this going forward in terms of classical dance. But, you know, I'm sitting there in the theater, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at the program, and almost all the donors, everybody in class with a few minor exceptions, and the people who are giving the big bucks are female. But I'm not seeing any women's voices represented on the stage. So none of the commissions were by women. And then I started looking into the artistic directors. And I got to tell you, when I started asking questions, Steve, it really sounds like something out of the 1950s, or maybe worse. I mean, let me tell you some of the reasons that I was told. Women are genetically incapable.
No, you were not. Liza, you stop right there. You did not. You were not told that.
Oh, yes, I was. Women are genetically incapable of running ballet companies. The resident choreographer for American Ballet Theater, who I must say is Russian, so maybe that's some reason, has flatly stated, well, women are not meant to run companies. Women are not meant to be choreographers. It's always been men, and it always will be men. My favorite, though, absolute favorite reason why women can't do this, apparently we can be fighter pilots and physicists and astronauts and everything else. We
and
can't
moms.
Run a ballet company.
Right.
Right. And pretty much any role you can think of. My favorite one of all is that because women are used to being lifted up in the ballet over men's heads, they haven't learned to get the correct perspective, so they can't be expected to choreograph dance.
Liza Ayentema is the founder of Dance Data Project. And so you're a choreographer?
Oh, my goodness, no.
Wait, are you a dancer?
I was indeed a dancer. I was one of those hundreds of thousands skinny little bunheads trotting off to ballet class.
Okay, this is terrible. Wait, as we're talking about gender here, this is terrible, but I've already pictured you with a bun. I can see that.
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, ballet dancers are told to scrape back their hair so tight that some of them actually, their hairline recedes. And that is just the beginning of the punishment. I mean, someday, Steve, I will ship a pair of toe shoes to your studio, but, and I want you to get in them and walk around a little bit.
Okay, let's go to this idea that the numbers are dropping for ballet, and so what ballet companies are doing are putting on safe shows that we know, and because of that, they're not opening up to ballet by women or artistic direction by women or things like that. Talk
right.
to me a little bit about that.
And I think that's a good question on your part, and a really smart area for inquiry. So if you look at all the studies, right, Steve, on the performing arts in general, ballet is second from the bottom. Opera is at the bottom. So in the key demographic of young audiences, only 3% of Americans have been to any kind, and that's not just ballet, but any kind of dance performance in the previous year. And as we know from opera, classical music, et cetera, audiences are getting smaller. and they're getting older. But what worries me is that instead of looking outward and trying to find new audiences, whether they're younger, more diverse, incorporating new styles, because I think in part of the structure of how money is awarded in the United States, it's more the conservative older voices, and they want to, quote, see real ballet. So I love Swan Lake, okay? I am just the way I adore Tosca. I love a good Giselle. I sit there and I sob through like half a box of Kleenex. But I kind of wonder where the fun is gone, right? I mean, it's actually supposed to be fun, and you should be able to hear or see some new stories. And I think that is what's concerning, right? I'm a little worried that performing arts is driving itself on off a cliff to satisfy its biggest, most conservative donors.
It's an interesting point in that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, perhaps. Liza Eintema is with us. She is the Dance Data Project Director. Okay, you're getting some attention?
Oh, we're getting a ton of attention. And the numbers don't lie, Steve, and that's why we rely on research. I was really stunned that nobody had looked at the numbers, and I would say performing arts overall is an understudied area. But yeah, here's another interesting fact. As we sort of got our legs underneath us, we went from looking at the largest 50 ballet or ballet-influenced companies down to the next 50. And get this, they only represent 7% of the budgets of the largest 50. Mm. So just the way you've got a wealth-income gap that's growing in the United States, you have a performing arts income gap where the biggest get bigger and everybody else is just scrabbling for resources.
That is Liza. That's Liza Eintema from the Dance Data Project. Okay, we got to run, Liza, but Rahm Emanuel dances. Did Mike Madigan ever dance with you?
Mike Madigan danced politically very adroitly, I would argue.
Listen, I think you are as well. It was nice to talk to you. I wish you success in this.
Thank you so much, Steve. It was really great to talk to you.
Nice as well to talk to you. It's Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. WGN.